Hi everybody and welcome to the Customer Spotlight series. We're delighted today to be joined by Scott McCulloch, the co-founder of the very exciting Vegan Kind. It's great to have a family-run business on the podcast, and in a minute I'm going to introduce you to Scott to tell us a little bit more about it and get going with the questions. I'm Nicola Renshaw and I'm head of customer marketing here at FIFO. And the purpose of the podcast today is to really get under the skin of a brilliant business that we at FIFO work with and hopefully gain some insights and tips that you as other business listeners who work with us or might not yet but are thinking about it can take on board when thinking about moving to collecting feedback and driving insight and how that can really impact your marketing moving forward. So let's get going. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Nick.
Thanks so much for joining us again. We're really excited to talk to the Vegan Kind, obviously because veganism is so topical at the moment, but even more special that, as we said at the intro, you're a family-run business. So can you tell us a bit about Vegan Kind and what makes you special?
Yeah, sure. So we've been going now since 2013. Like you said, we're sort of family-run business. It's myself and my wife, Karis. We're essentially two businesses rolled into one. We originally began as a subscription box service, whereby we would ship our customers a box through the post. That box would contain 7 or 8 products in it, largely centered around food and drink. The recipient wouldn't know what's going to be in the box, but they would know that the box was suitable for them, so that all of the products that were inside are vegan, cruelty-free, plant-based, whatever you want to call it, and largely sort of taking the difficulty out of going vegan. And we'd gone vegan back then to 2013, and we knew that it sort of could be a bit challenging. There's a lot of labels to read and, you know, a lot of pitfalls and some brands that, you know, are vegan or products that were vegan that now all of a sudden aren't vegan, and it can just sometimes feel a wee bit difficult. And we thought that if we could make life a bit easier for people, then it would make the transition to veganism easier. And largely speaking, that was our kind of overall driver, that we just wanted more people to be able to go vegan or to find it easier to go vegan. So that first product, our monthly lifestyle box, ended up spiraling into a product, which were a beauty box, which was kind of largely led by Karis, who at that point in time was doing a kind of bit of beauty vlogging on YouTube. She had a YouTube channel and she would review different makeup products, a lot of which weren't often cruelty-free. So again, using that same kind of logic of being able to get the products to the people and make their life a bit easier, it would help. So we created a bi-monthly beauty box, which same premise as the lifestyle box, and ships cosmetics and toiletry products out on a bi-monthly basis. People don't know what's in either of these boxes, but they know that everything's suitable and it works in the element of surprise. In 2016, I think it was, we sort of pivoted slightly. The growth of the subscription boxes had maybe started to kind of plateau a bit, or the sort of boomerang hockey stick sort of growth that we'd been experiencing had started to slow down a bit, and we knew that we needed to do something else to continue growing the business. So after doing a large amount of research on different keywords and traffic sources and such like, we realized that no one was really catering for the growing market of vegan cheese and plant-based meat alternatives. So we ended up setting up the Vegan Kind supermarket, and we now run both sides of the business on separate websites. So we've got the vegankind.com, which is our subscription boxes, and then the vegankindsupermarket.com, which is our supermarket. And the supermarket is essentially like, you know, one of the big four, like a Tesco and an Asda, same departments and sort of categories on our site, but everything is entirely free from animals and vegan or plant-based.
Wow, so exciting and such quick growth if you tell it like that. But obviously, you know, you've been really catering for the customer and what they're after and sort of moving along at the pace that they're prepared to go at. And obviously veganism has just had such an explosion. Do you still see it as a movement that continues to grow, or do you think there's going to be something else coming down the line that will sort of take its popularity away?
No, I think on the contrary. I mean, like, so there's lots of different ways to look at veganism, but, you know, I think going back 15, 20, 30 years ago, if you met somebody and they said they were vegan, you would have looked at them in a different light, you know, maybe a negative light. You would have seen it as something slightly strange. You know, I know I did, and largely speaking, anybody who's vegan now wasn't vegan at some point. You know, it wasn't that common. So largely all vegans now have been someone who have looked upon veganism in a different light. But now it's very much seen as an extremely positive life change, I would say. So generally when you meet someone who's vegan, and if you're not, then quite often people will say things like, wow, you know, I'd love to do that, but, you know, I just find it a bit difficult. Or, you know, I know that, yeah, it's really healthy, that, isn't it? Yeah, probably not for me, you know. But people do see it with a positive spin, but they then maybe don't necessarily see themselves as fitting into that category. But largely speaking, I think people do see it in a positive light. And from my perspective, I see veganism as more of an evolution of humanity. So, like, you know, as a species, humans used to eat very, very little meat way back when we had a lot less health conditions and a lot less problems, sort of climate-based or health-based. And we didn't consume dairy at all. You know, we weren't taking the milk from a different animal. It was a sort of bizarre concept at one point in time. We've obviously evolved into the point whereby we've, you know, mass-produced and commoditized animals to a point whereby it's widely cited as being extremely problematic for the globe and climate change, but also the largest contributor to the three or four biggest health problems that we have on planet Earth as well. So there's a kind of shift in mindset within all people as to how do we sort of operate more efficiently on planet Earth. We're not doing a very good job. What are the problems? How do we solve them? And a lot of people now think that removing animals from their diet, removing animals from the food chain, removing animals from the transport chain globally, is so powerful that it's the single biggest, quickest change that anyone can make to make a positive impact. So I think not only is it a sort of evolution within all of us, the amount of products that are emerging and the amount of brands that are emerging that are replacing meat-based or animal-based products is exploding, you know, testament to the fact that, you know, at the Vegan Kitchen supermarket, we've got over 6,000 SKUs and growing. We've got a list of about 1,000 waiting to come on. And I think the only way is up. You know, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so exciting, as you say, to see, you know, I've got two daughters, and to even sort of see them embrace this new way of living and, you know, really sort of respect veganism and all the sort of elements that you've been talking about there. And I think it, as you say, it's something that we at FIFA see a lot of our businesses talking much more and acting on sustainability and, you know, issues that really resonate with their customers and being able to provide and make quick turnarounds to adapt to what their customers need. And it, you know, what you guys are doing is just fantastic. And you obviously use feedback, you know, and reviews that you collate across your site in a number of ways. So how do you find reviews help with your customer experience?
Hugely. I mean, we've always worked really, really hard on our service with our head of customer experience, Lee. Is you know, largely responsible for that. You know, we as a company have, I think, exceptional service, as is testament to the fact that we're, you know, such a large amount of reviews in such a short space of time, and you know, the vast majority of them, you know, 5 stars. But we know fine well that when customers shop online, you know, they need to know that who they're buying from is going to offer a good service, because, you know, there's alternatives for everything now. So, you know, if you want to buy clothes or food or furniture or whatever, you know, there's so many different places you can shop now. And one of the easiest ways to differentiate yourself from the others is by proving that when a customer buys with you, you're going to get it right. Sort of not even more often than not, but, you know, almost 100% of the time, and that's kind of what we aim for. And anytime if we do ever see a negative review, then we see that as an opportunity to try and turn it around. We quite often get customers who'll amend their reviews based on the way we've handled their negative experience. But in general, we know that the perception of the customer has to be that we really, really do care about them and want to get it right, 100% of the time. And for any shortcomings that we have, that they're regrettable to us, and that we do still comment on those, maybe one star reviews, and have ended that one star situation with a five star response from us. Whether the customer in that situation will agree or change the review or not is kind of out of our hands, but we then at least want any onlookers to see that we have tried to resolve that situation. So we're very public about our responses and one star reviews, but like I say, there's not that many of them, thankfully. So hopefully when anybody comes across the business, they recognize that we do put our customers first.
Yeah, and that's really important. We're often talking to our customers about actually don't shy away from the negative reviews, as you say, or the one star, two star reviews, because actually that's your time to then shine and take that feedback and do something positive with it. So you would really encourage anyone listening to seize the day, if you like, in terms of their negative reviews.
Absolutely. So we've got alerts set up. We don't bother getting alerted when five star reviews come in because there's too many of them. But we anytime a one or a two or a three star review comes in, we know about it instantly. We've got a Slack channel set up specifically to do with that. And the second a review comes in, then various people know about it and we jump right on it. And it's always the case that it's the second a customer review comes in, I'll message Lee and I'll be like, oh, this just came in. She'll know exactly, the person might not even have put their name, but straight away she'll know exactly who it is, and she'll be able to say that's not fair of them to have said that, because that is not what happened. We did not do that. We absolutely tried our damnedest to resolve it for them, and we can at least jump straight on it and give our side of it whilst not saying that the customer's done anything wrong. We'll always hold our hands up and be completely responsible if we've got something wrong. But if a customer's going to go and leave a one-star review and then be completely inaccurate in what they're saying, then we want to have our say on that immediately, because we don't want reviews showing us in a negative light when we really do pour our heart and soul into making sure that we get it right as often as is humanly possible. So for sure, if anybody isn't commenting on their one star reviews, then it's a huge mistake. But I think just, I've actually got a friend who's got a business, and I was looking at his profile the other day, and they've got quite a lot of one star reviews, and whoever's handling their service is almost just arguing with people on one star reviews, which obviously then worsens the situation. So me as an outsider, I could come along and see that one star review and then see the fact that that business is arguing with that customer on that one star review. So you have to put yourself in the customer's shoes, understand that they're extremely angry, they're extremely frustrated, that it will largely be our fault that we haven't got something completely right, and sort of understand a wee bit how they maybe have read between the lines and are putting less than favourable commentary on a one-star review. But you have to sort of take yourself out of the equation and sort of calm the situation down a bit, and just be reasonable with them, because those reviews are public, they will remain there, and everybody will judge you not just on the reviews that they see, but on the way that you handle those negative reviews as well.
Of course, and transparency, is what FIFO is all about, and obviously that's what we encourage our customers to be as well, in terms of the reviews and acting on the ones that are negative in a really positive way to try and turn it around. So really pleased that you kind of echo that and can bring that to life with some of the comments that you've just made there. And how else do you use reviews in your marketing activity, Scott? I mean, I know you do a lot of paid for advertising and things like that. Do you use reviews within there, or do you use it in email comms, or?
Yeah, so we use we've got reviews on all of our product pages on our websites. We have review carousel at the home pages of our website. We use reviews in the footer of all of our emails. Use reviews in our Google Shopping results. We use them in our Facebook advertising as well. We actually use them internally at the business as well. So if we see negative or positive feedback about our packing in the warehouse, then we will feed that back to the packer in question just to give them some feedback. At the start of every month, we print out like a couple of A4 pages of our reviews from the prior month, and we put them up in our staff notice board. We've got our awards from the last few years framed on the entrance sort of foyer to the Vegan Kind and in our office. And yeah, I think we put them in magazines as well. So if we ever do any sort of paid magazine adverts, then we'll always put our sort of trusted badge there. But yeah, just in general, anywhere that we can let customers know that our service is, you know, of a five-star nature, then why would we not? You know, we need people to know that about us.
Yeah, and that's really great to hear. And that's the kind of benefit of using a platform like FIFO. You know, it gives you that ability to shout a bit louder and give you those kind of badge of honours. And we always encourage our customers to do that. But it's amazing, actually, so many of them still, you know, don't use it effectively enough. And I think what you've illustrated there is how you can use it across so many different mediums. And I really like the fact you touch on the internal side. So to motivate your staff internally and to sort of rectify any issues. So it's obviously a really important kind of behind the scenes, if you like, the reviews to help morale and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, you know, staff need to know when we're getting it right as well as getting it wrong. Because, I mean, one of the sort of in any warehouse, probably, you know, from a customer service to warehouse type relationship, the sort of maybe more common feedback is when something's gone wrong for the customer. If a customer complains about something and it's because it wasn't packaged right or whatever, then of course we need to feed that back to the warehouse, and we do. But that's the sort of more readily available feedback that is going back to the warehouse on a regular basis. But at the same time, because you wouldn't stop every day and pass back all the good five-star reviews, because we're fortunate enough that they're sort of rolling in quickly. But we would never want them to be forgotten about or lost. So yeah, a fantastic way of ensuring they stay in the fore is just print them out once a month, get them up in the notice board, and yeah, everybody just sort of gets to understand that we're heading in the right direction, and that the mistakes that we do mention are actually few and far between. It's just that we have to bring them up when they happen. But the largest proportion of our reviews are for sure five star.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. I like the idea of printing it off and putting it up in the staff room. Obviously, we have had an extraordinary year this year, a year like no other, and many of our customers have been affected by that. How's it been for you? Because I can only imagine that a lot of people have become more health conscious, probably in lockdown, or maybe not, maybe one of the two extremes. But have you sort of seen a rise in new customers or sales or the way people are shopping with you? You know, is it different? Are channels performing in a different way to previous years because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, we are without doubt, you know, a very, very fortunate company. We were growing, you know, and heading in the right direction and forecasting plenty of growth this year and next year. However, we can't, you know, get away from the fact that by being online food and drink delivery with a next day service, you know, that's exactly what everybody was looking for at the start of the pandemic and technically continues to look for. So, you know, yes, we're really, really fortunate there, because there were obviously plenty of other businesses who are heading in the right direction and growing and growing and growing, who are in, you know, really, really difficult situation right now. So, you know, I don't really in a way like shouting about our successes too much, because on one hand I feel, you know, dreadfully sorry for the kind of state of the economy right now and the amount of businesses that are really struggling, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, throughout COVID-19 our business grew exponentially, you know, three times. So we ended up in we were in a 13,000 square foot warehouse in January, and we'd only been there for 18 months and expected to be there for another 3 years. But in September we moved to a 35,000 square foot warehouse, so basically three times the size, and just in order to cope with demand. So I think in one sense, you know, we gave ourselves that platform because we were already doing really well and had a great name for ourselves and loads of loyal customers. So we, you know, we sort of, you know, that was our own success really. But then add COVID to the mix, and it, you know, grew us even quicker. But then really throughout that experience, then the way we've handled it as a business, you know, like making the decision to try and locate warehouse during a pandemic, which in part was slightly mental, but we knew that it was logical, and if we could get it done, that it would make absolute sense because we would be able to capitalize through November, which is World Vegan Month, and then December, inclusive of Black Friday, and January, which is Veganuary, where hundreds of thousands of people go vegan for the month of January. We knew that if we didn't move warehouse, then we really wouldn't be able to capitalize on these 3 months, which we're now in the midst of. So it seemed kind of bonkers on paper to be moving warehouse again so soon, certainly somewhere three times the size when we actually thought we would remain in that other one for another 3 years. But yeah, it all worked out for the best, and this place now bizarrely feels like it could potentially not be big enough, but yeah, so we've definitely seen an uptick from COVID-19, and to be honest, we don't see any signs of it slowing down at all. And we're about to go through an investment raise at the moment for a seven-figure sum, and you know, we've already got plenty of places where we'll be dispatching that money to continue that growth throughout 2021.
Wow, that's just phenomenal, isn't it? And it's ironic that it takes something like COVID to highlight what customers are after and have been after for quite a long time. It, you know, in terms of that next day delivery, all that sort of stuff that you've been talking about, it's crazy that something like a pandemic has really pushed forward businesses to adapt quickly or not survive. But it just comes back to this whole customer experience, doesn't it? And ensuring that brands meet the needs of their customers and truly can adapt quickly like you've done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it's again another sort of fortune really of the way COVID went for us, because you've got smaller businesses that weren't really at a size to effectively scale up perhaps, or weren't big enough, weren't known about enough, and other businesses that have sort of tried to pivot into an online model when they didn't have it before, which is takes time and can be quite challenging. Whereas for us, we were always 100% online. We are the largest player in the 100% vegan sort of shopping space. In terms of our social following, again, even pre-pandemic, you know, we've got the largest social following in the UK of any sort of trading vegan business. That's through our three pages. We've got a page for The Vegan Kind, got a page for The Vegan Kind Supermarket, and actually our largest Instagram page is a page called Accidentally Vegan UK. Accidentally Vegan was a page that was set up by Caris, can't remember when now, like 2013, just to kind of support all the vegan products in supermarkets that people don't realise are vegan. Like, for example, Oreos is just one to mention, because for some reason that's kind of the most accidentally vegan product you can get. But it's just to highlight.
Wow, I didn't know that. My children love Oreos.
Your diet is probably made up of largely vegan products. You know, it's only when you go vegan that you start looking at things that are normally vegan, like, I don't know, like onion rings, crisps or whatever, and then you come across one random supermarket and you'll pick up a packet of them and you go, why the hell has that got milk in it? Like, no other brand does that. Why would they do that? But yeah, so anyways, that Accidentally Vegan page was set up for that, and it's like nearly 400,000. But in total, I think we're at something like 700,000 followers on Instagram alone. And that was all pre-pandemic. But yeah, like, again, our path was already fully an online one, but whereby we could have been cautious and remained in that warehouse and adjusted ad spend accordingly downwards in order to just stay there and handle an appropriate level of sales to remain there. Like, my background's in kind of sales, and I've just always had large targets to go for, and, you know, always been, you know, aware of the kind of fortune favours the brave mentality. And, you know, we just sort of looked at it overall and decided that the gamble, you know, was worth it. And like I say, relocated to somewhere three times the size, and absolutely it paid off. It was 100% the right move. But we did it because, you know, not only did we know we were heading in the right direction as a business, but our mission, like on our sort of actual mission statement on the walls is to make a vegan lifestyle easily accessible for all. And, you know, we're looking at the growth of veganism in general, and we're looking at the way online shopping habits have changed throughout the pandemic. And we're just looking at it and saying we can meet that mission far, far better if we're in a warehouse three times the size. So although it's really scary to go and do it because we don't know if any of these revenue numbers are real, and if we don't know what will be if this pandemic ends in a month, the pandemic could have ended half through us transitioning to, and our sales could have dropped off a cliff. So it really, really was a big, bold, scary maneuver for us. But, you know, we, as I say, when we looked at the sort of overall mission of what we're trying to achieve with the vegan kind, we were like, we need to go for it. And if it doesn't work out for us, we'll never look back, because we did it with our heart on our sleeve. And so that's kind of where we are just now.
Yeah, as you say, and you stayed true to your sort of mission, and you know, we couldn't be more delighted to be supporting you in that. It's really exciting. So well done you. And we've touched on this a little bit, but how people who are vegan and vegan food, I guess, can unfairly sometimes get a bit of a bad rap, and, you know, how we might have thought of people who were vegan before, you know, and that's obviously all changing. But do you find, I guess, the reviews that you get can give people the confidence to try more vegan products?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is, I mean, the world has just changed so much, and the choices have changed so much that, you know, veganism, the choice of being vegan now doesn't come with the same weight it maybe did 20 years ago. So like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, if you decided you were going to go vegan, then you really had to be on board with it. You probably were quite, you know, quote unquote, out there with your thinking by others' perceptions. You know, you were making this really, you know, people used to think of it as extreme, which is kind of ridiculous now, but like this sort of extreme life choice that was going to remove all these options, and you had your life limited, but you were so committed to, you know, animal, avoiding animal cruelty or animal rights, that you were going to go through with this, you know, very limiting experience. And that's just generally the way it was thought of, but it's not that complex anymore to me. You know, millennials now growing up, so if you talk about like the number one burger alternative, or like plant-based burger Beyond Meat, which is one of the fastest growing companies in the world, you know, listed in the stock exchange and rapidly growing, you know, their plant-based burger, when you taste that against a sort of almost a high quality, like an Angus steak burger equivalent, you know, in a sort of blind taste test, honestly, I don't know how many people would know the difference. So children now growing up, when they are faced with burger A, which is an actual beef burger, which came from a cow, which had to die, did have a life, bled in order to be in that burger, or burger B, which looks the same, tastes the same, and nothing had to die, then the complexity has been removed. So a child, when they're sort of given those two options, they'll go, oh, I'll just choose burger B because it looks the same and it tastes the same, and I don't necessarily want anything to die. So the whole desire to become vegan isn't as complex as it once was, because it can now just be based on product choice rather than, you know, maybe a more convoluted ethical choice. And obviously a lot of people do still go vegan, and mainly still go vegan because of the ethics of it, and they maybe don't want animals to be killed, or they want to improve their health, or they understand the ecological impact on planet Earth. But also just from a product choice, everybody now has options. You can choose A and you can choose B, and there's not that big a disparity in taste and textures anymore, because, you know, we're a clever species and we've advanced to the point whereby so many brands and products have came out now that have almost replicated their animal-based counterpart. So yeah, I think that we definitely do massively play our part in that, because a lot of those products, such as This Isn't Bacon or Huera Chicken, you know, are so identical to their counterparts that, You know, we know that we have definitely over the last 7 years since we've been around, we have played our part hugely in the growth of veganism, and it's something that we're really, really proud of.
Yeah, I mean, it really is mind blowing when you step back and think of it, isn't it? And you talked earlier about how you actually put reviews on your individual product pages, which is something that we always encourage our customers to do, and they don't always do it. But do you, obviously having reviews on specific product pages gives you real insight?
Yeah, for sure. Like we put the reviews up just as a sort of additional identifier, you know, for someone who's deciding on a product, then they can see that others have had it, tasted it, tested it, and rated it, liked it. So it definitely helps with add to cart conversion, but also in the bottom of the product pages we've got further insight, so the text that comes along with those ads as well, so that people can, you know, browse through a few of those reviews and read them. So yeah, two different areas on the product page, and but for sure, you know, like I think as well, specifically with veganism, if it's something that somebody's newly adopted, or you know, they're flexitarian, you know, they've just decided that they're going to try veganism but not really commit to it, or just do a couple of days a week or whatever it might be, then they're coming across a lot of products that they've never heard of before, or they don't know, and or there's loads of options, you know, they want to try plant-based chicken, and there's 15 of them there, you know, they really need to quickly find out which one they want to try, because they've all got different textures and tastes and flavors and stuff like that. So you know, reviews are the quickest way of doing that and keep a customer on the page, because I suppose what you don't want is a customer finding a product and you not having the reviews, they leave your site to go and find out a bit more about the product, and then whether you get them back or not, you never find out.
Yeah, so by having them on the product page, it really reduces your sort of basket abandonment, which is great. And Scott, you have recently reached your 10,000th FIFA review, which is really exciting. We're really pleased for you for that. And you're also the owner of 2 Gold Trusted Service Awards, which is huge. Congratulations to you. And how important are those sort of awards to your business and to your staff?
Yeah, hugely. We're really, really proud of them. I think we're due our platinum one next, which Lee in customer services is really, really excited about.
Yeah, right? The new awards are announced the middle of January, so everyone is racing to collect as many reviews as they can, but fingers crossed you'll get your platinum award this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so we know we're in the mix for that soon, so that's really cool. Yeah, and we display them at the footer of our site, and obviously it just shows a continuity there that you know, it's not that you're a new business and you've managed to keep your service levels up, although that's obviously really important, but certainly in our situation it's not that we're a new business that's kept them up in year one and you know, and then failed in 2 or 3, and you know, people can see that, you know, we've managed to grow considerably, our review numbers have gone north, and we've managed to keep those service levels up, because I do think that that's something you can quite often see, you know, and this isn't to say that we won't necessarily suffer this at some point as well, but quite often you can see larger businesses that the bigger that they get, it can become more challenging to keep your service levels up. And certainly, you know, even right now through Black Friday, Cyber Monday and Christmas and World Vegan Month and Veganuary coming up, we are at, you know, stretching point, you know, in keeping our service levels up. But certainly that's why, you know, those badges showing that you've been able to do it year on year on year maybe helps. Like if you do have a sort of blip in your service levels over a particular week, and that could lead to a sort of maybe higher spate of 2 or 3-star reviews over a week long period, then, you know, maybe customers are going to go and see that on that particular week. But at the same time, they're able to see that you've received an award for the last 3 years. And maybe they're therefore going to be a bit more forgiving on that particular week, which I'm sure they themselves will know is a busy one. So yeah, we definitely use them quite a bit.
That's great to hear, and fingers crossed for January. And I guess one final question, Scott. Such an exciting time, as you say, for the vegan kind. And we're thrilled to be part of that with you. And I guess as you move into the new year and Veganuary, you know, what are the plans for the future for the vegan kind? And, you know, how do you see sort of your relationship with FIFA evolving moving forward?
Yeah, so we've got loads of plans for next year. In January, we've got a couple of different things launching. We have got our first range of meals coming out, ready meals. So they'll be under a sort of sub-brand called Love Plants. And yeah, three microwaveable meals coming out. We're going to get them out just at the last week of Veganuary, so we're really, really excited about that. That'll sort of kick the year off with a bang. And we've also got a loyalty scheme coming out called TVK Plus, which we're in the sort of testing phase at the moment, and that's something that's been a long, long time coming. What that's going to mean is it's going to mean that all of our subscription box customers, by virtue of simply being a subscriber and receiving a, you know, fantastic product with great value, which, you know, stands up in its own right, as a completely additional bonus, every single one of our subscribers will become TVK Plus eligible at the Vegan Kind supermarket, which will give them a 6% discount on over 50% of our inventory. So that'll be about 3,000 products. They'll still be able to use discount codes and loyalty schemes on top of that. But yeah, TVK Plus members will straight off get 6% off over 50% of our inventory. And that'll be for, yeah, anybody who's a subscriber to any one of our subscriptions on any one of our subscription box plans. So that's going to be huge for us in just sort of rewarding our subscribers and, you know, giving them something extra. And that's a problem we've been trying to solve for a long, long time. And this is a really, really sort of exciting solution to it. In terms of our relationship with FIFA, you know, I'm sure it will continue growing from strength to strength. You know, we'll you know, be ensuring we try and get our numbers up as high as possible. I think we're up at nearly 11,000 reviews now. You know, I would hope that we can come out the back end of 2021 on something like 20,000. I'd really love to double our reviews and ensure that we get another annual award again for keeping our service levels up, because if we can get to the back end of 2021 and come out the back end of this pandemic, hopefully, having acquired, you know, tens and tens of thousands of new customers and shipped out our 200,000th supermarket order the other day. So if we can get through 2021 in a similar vein and have continued with exceptional service, then, you know, I could not be more proud of the team. But I definitely will be giving some thanks to FIFA as well for, you know, helping us along that journey and allowing us to showcase just how good we are to our customers.
Wow, Scott, it sounds like you're going to be busy for sure. I love the angle of customer loyalty. I think, you know, ready meals and customer loyalty, I mean, that, you know, those things just sound such a brilliant evolution for the vegan kind. So we will be watching this space with great interest to cheer you on from the sidelines. And Scott, honestly, a huge thank you for today. Thanks so much for giving up your time in clearly such a busy period for you. But we've loved having you on the Spotlight series. So really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
No problem. Cheers, guys.
Go and listen to some of our other Spotlight podcasts that we've recorded over the last few months. And to find out more, please go back to our FIFA website, FIFA.com. Take care.